fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're here to help you win your league and have bragging rights on your friends.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
Pretty fired up to talk football here as we are into June. Welcome to the show on Thursday, June 1st. We're going to look at the draft that we did last week, but we're going to really talk about mid-round picks and strategy, how we constructed our roster. I think it should be a pretty interesting discussion today. I am Adam Azer on Twitter at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R. Gentlemen, please introduce yourself and your Twitter handle, starting with the man in the glasses, Dave.
Good afternoon. My name is Dave Richard. You can find me on Twitter at Dave Richard. I like extra large pizzas with multiple toppings and late night poker sessions.
Ooh, and the non-glasses man, whatever that is. Hey, you.
Hey.
come on, Jaime. Introduce yourself.
My name is Nando DeFino.
All right.
Yeah, Nando DeFino.
All right, that's Jamie Eisenberg. He's at Jamie Eisenberg, J-A-M-E-Y. He's a big jokester today. We usually start with a breakout alert. I want to do a sleeper alert today. Are you ready?
Hold on. Go.
Okay. This guy's a sleeper. He's a quarterback who had a 92.3 passer rating last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a good offensive line. Stop me when you figure it out.
All right. Good offensive line, yeah.
Three first-round picks in his receiving core.
Ooh. Hmm.
NFL first-round picks. Three of them.
Carson Wentz.
No. And his team had the second fewest rush attempts in the NFL last year, so you figure they'll probably be throwing the ball. Okay. So I'm just going to go ahead and tell you because it's pretty ridiculous, but here we are in June.
Stafford?
Is it who? Stafford? No. They had the fewest attempts, rush attempts.
Is it Eli Manning?
It's Cody Kessler.
Oh.
But he's going to be the backup to Brock Osweiler.
Or Deshaun Kaiser.
No, Brock Osweiler. Haven't you heard what Hugh Jackson said?
I heard. Hugh Jackson says a lot of things. I don't know. Look, I'm just having a little fun with it here. I think there are reasons to feel like he could at least be a streamer, Cody Kessler, or whoever the quarterback may be for the Cleveland Browns. Yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
All right,
would you play him when he goes up against the Steelers?
What week?
One?
No, why would you be streaming in week one?
Would you play him when he's at Baltimore?
No.
We're not going week by week here, David.
Would you play him ever? The answer is no.
Go.
You're not going to
play
Cody.
In a two-quarterback league, if he's playing well, absolutely.
Well, of course, if he's playing well. I'll play anybody who's playing well.
That would be the point.
I think you can draft Cody Kessler.
No, I'm not drafting Cody Kessler.
Okay, you can pick up Cody Kessler.
Look, we can't talk about the same guys every show. I want to talk about somebody else, and I think
let's talk about somebody that exactly 0% of our audience will care about.
That's the thing. Like, let's give a name that nobody cares about right now.
Who on a win care about Cody Kessler? On what planet?
Were there not a point in the season last year, because I could recall at least once, where you were touting Trevor Siemian? And at this point last year, you probably would have said the same thing about Trevor Siemian.
But he's not a Browns quarterback who could lose his job at any point during the year, including training camp, to Deshaun Kaiser. I don't think it's going to happen in training camp. It could happen after.
He may not be the starter in week one, but still, if there is a chance for somebody to potentially play well, Adam made a case for it. He's got a good receiving core around him that we've been talking about quite a bit.
Who are the three number one first round picks at receiver?
Yeah, well, one tight end and two receivers. Kenny Britt is the one, is the third. Britt, Coleman, and Njoku.
Oh, yeah. That might be the ugliest trio of former first-round pick receivers ever put together on the
same team.
It is interesting
who has the worst receiving core in the NFL right now.
Oh, I think it's the Jets.
See, I would say the Rams.
How dare you speak poorly about a receiving core that features Tavon Austin and Robert Woods? It's close between those two. Decker might be the best overall receiver.
Yeah,
I would say
he's got one shoulder.
Anunoby was still pretty good.
Anunoby was not bad.
All right. So look. Anyway, we had at one point we had streamed Josh McCown. You know, Josh McCown was a
scout quarterback, especially if he's putting up the Blake Bortles numbers of chasing points week in week out because their team is so bad. And Isaiah Crowell gets hurt, and they can't run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's certainly an opportunity for.
I'm not liking the tone of this.
Starter,
Isaiah Crowell hurt. Cody Kessler, a fantasy starter. Is everything backwards today? Up is down, left is right. Adam is clean shaven. This is just ludicrous.
It's true. I am. All right. Well, that's your Cody Kessler discussion. Let's go to the emails. We'll start with a couple of emails. Email of the day number one and email of the day number two at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We actually have a lot of news to get to. Fat Rob isn't fat anymore, apparently. Bad stuff about Carlos Hyde, according to the Santa Rosa Press Democrat. News on Latavius Murray. News on Russell Wilson. So newsy show and also some strategy. And here's email of the day number one. It is from Corey. Now, Corey was listening to our last podcast when Dave said Quebec instead of Quebec. And Jamie and I laughed hilariously, hysterically at Dave, pointed fingers, made fun of him, called him names.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out you were right. It is, you could say it either way, but Quebec is very appropriate pronunciation of the word, Dave.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
This one goes out to Dino Bravo and the Rougeau brothers and Frenchie the manager. This is for them. This is for Quebec.
Who the hell are they? Are they wrestlers?
Look them up.
Okay.
A little research, Adam. Come on.
I think I remember them.
Jacques and Raymond would not appreciate you not knowing who they are.
Email of the day number two is James from a town north of San Francisco.
Truckee, California.
Dear Steph, Kevin, Draymond, and Clay. Who's going to win tonight?
The Warriors.
The Warriors! All right, 10-team standard league. What draft pick do you think is best and worst for coming away with the best top two picks? I'm putting this in because we've talked a lot about it in 12-team leagues, but not really in 10-team leagues with those, you know, those big six up front, those top three running backs and the receivers you get in round two compared to the running backs in round two. How does it change in a 10-team league, guys? Where are the best and worst spots you would want to pick in a 10-team league?
I don't think I have a worst. I think the best for me is still three in a 10-team league because you're guaranteed one of those three stud running backs.
If you're going to make a case for a worst, it's one of the first three picks.
Really?
Because as great as those first three running backs are, we've talked about this, what you're getting in the second round is not exactly great compared to what you're getting at the back end of the first round when you get two of those players. So in a 10-team league, you're going to get two studs and then at the back end of the first round. In the beginning of the first round, you're guaranteed one stud, but you have to really love Gronk, Fournette, Amari Cooper, maybe Doug Baldwin, maybe Jay Ajayi, Todd Gurley, Lamar Miller. I mean, it's a little bit more of a toss-up.
Where would you want to pick, Jamie, if you could pick any spot in a 10-team league?
Six?
I think if it's PPR, would you want to go 10? Get two receivers?
I guess, yeah.
Couldn't you go six in a PPR and still get a stud receiver and probably one of the last very good receivers coming back in?
Yeah, but why get a very good? We always talk about top eight. Well, by the way, we're not going to talk about top eight for the next eight shows. You could get two of them at 10. You can't get two of them at six in PPR. Maybe. But I don't know.
Your best bet is Michael Thomas.
That's the 15th overall pick.
In PPR?
Yeah. Hilton and Thomas, it could be hard for them to make it back. That's fair.
Yeah.
I wish there was something we could do to expand on that. You know, I can't say it.
No, we can't say it.
Top eight receivers? Yes.
Yeah.
Expand on
that. I wish there were more. I wish we could feel more confident in more than just eight receivers.
Oh, I don't think it's a matter of feeling confident. I think it's a matter of those eight, and again, you can extend it to Michael Thomas if you want to. Those nine guys almost feel set up for guaranteed production because of what they've done and the situations that they're in. Whereas Baldwin's a little bit of a gamble. Cooper's a little bit of a gamble. Maybe more so of a gamble. I mean, maybe Michael Thomas should be in that group more so than the other eight guys. But, you know, it's just, it's not, I don't think Devontae Adams should be in that conversation. I don't know if Demaryius Thomas is still in that conversation. I don't think that Terrell Pryor's there yet. Sammy Watkins has to be healthy. So there are guys that have great opportunities and, you know, are going to be very good for your fantasy team, but they just feel risky as second round picks.
Let's talk about Cody Kessler again. What do you think?
Sure.
Nah, it's all right. Let's talk about Fat Rob. Injuries, news, and notes here. All right. It really is a lot of stuff. We got Corey Coleman news coming in as well. So Fat Rob, Rob Kelly, he has lost weight, and he says, not so fast, Samaje Perine, which is actually a pretty accurate description of Samaje Perine. Not so fast. Ha ha ha. Do you guys care about Rob Kelly? I'll editorialize and say he's in the, quote, best shape of his life, quoting me.
Well, one of a guy that we play in an IDP league with who covers the Redskins, Ben Standick, he wrote a story for NBCWashington.com that don't rush to anoint Samaje Perine as the starter just yet, because Kelly has done everything you can ask of him to impress his coaches and to do what he needs to do to hold on to the job. Will he? Who knows? But you got to give him credit for not Kelvin Benjamining and screwing up his opportunity. He's got the starter's job last year. He obviously liked that, and he cut his body fat percentage from 18% to 13%, and he's changed his diet, and he's working on catching the ball better, and you know, and he you want to know his quote, which I think is very fair for a guy that's 24.
Yeah.
He said, "It's not hard to say you don't feel some type of pressure when they bring in another back, but it's the NFL. Someone comes in every year to try and take your job. Coach told me it's my job to lose. If Samaje comes in here and does what he has to do, it's not his fault if he's playing better. I have to play better than him, so I don't feel any type of pressure that way. It's all on me."
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, look, go out and prove you're the best guy. He could easily do that, and come August, I'll change my tune. Right now, I have Perine ranked significantly higher. Not significantly, six spots higher than him, and it could easily be a situation where Kelly is the better of the two by far.
How comfortable would you feel drafting both of them?
I did that, and I believe it was the PPR mock draft that we did. I could check if you
did. Did you like doing that, or are you concerned that they could just they won't have defined roles, and they'll just Rob Kelly will play five snaps, Perine will come in for three, Kelly will play for six, and then Redskins are in the red zone, it doesn't matter, Perine's in for three, and it's just like playing roulette with two spots on the roulette wheel. One is at Perine, one is Fat Rob with. Not a cheeseburger, I guess like a
turkey burger. Turkey burger, yeah.
No, let's go with the leaf of lettuce.
Most coaches don't like to do that, especially when they have a defined third down back like they do. Mm-hmm. They're going to use Chris Thompson in that role. I don't see them getting away from that. So it'd probably be more frustrating in that scenario if that does unfold. But what most likely will happen could be what happened to them last year, which is Matt Jones is the starter, which you would assume would be Kelly. And if Kelly has an injury, which he got hurt last year, or he screws up, then Perine comes in and it's his job until he screws up, if they're that close.
I'm wondering if they're that close that they actually end up getting targeted for 12 to 14 carries a game and you just start one and you take your chances. And it could be a headache for fantasy owners, even if they're both there and both healthy. It makes me nervous about drafting both of them to the same team.
I think the one thing about it is, well, the investment's not so high. You know, you're talking about round six to round eight range for two guys that if you go, two backs, two receivers, three backs, two receivers.
Right. So these two would combine to be your number three running back?
I would say, or your fourth. Could be that. That's the scenario.
Okay. Let's go to our next news item. You're nervous about drafting Redskins running backs. How are you feeling about Carlos Hyde at this point? Would you take Carlos Hyde in the, let's say like the 40s, like after 40 picks are off the board, would you take Carlos Hyde? Because the Santa Rosa Press Democrat says that Hyde is, quote, the slowest and most indecisive running back, end quote, in 49ers camp right now. He's learning a new scheme. He may not be a good fit for the new scheme. There has not been anything positive about Carlos Hyde, and it just seems to be getting worse. Do you think he's a top 40 pick?
I haven't ranked 48th overall, so no.
I still haven't been inside my top 40, but not top 30.
I'll settle for him at this point. It's funny because in our magazine that's coming out, we had our mock draft and then I wrote the bus column. And in the time of the mock draft and the bus column, I would have taken him. I ended up settling for him in the third round, which I felt was settling for him in the third round. Now I feel like I reached for him in the third round because of all the negative stuff that just continues to come out on this before this latest report. So, they just don't seem to like him at all. I mean, it's, if I was Baltimore, maybe Green Bay, certainly Indianapolis, I'd be making a phone call just to see. Sixth round pick, maybe a fifth round pick, whatever you can lowball the 49ers to see if they're willing to part with him, because he'd be better suited someplace else. He's still talented.
Was Joe Williams one of your four rookie running backs that you picked last week?
No, James? He was the one that I was hoping to be the fourth.
Oh, okay.
And somebody took him the round that I was planning to draft him. Like I said, I wasn't going to reach.
Yeah. All right. Latavius Murray. Latavius Murray said his goal is to...
Before we get to Latavius Murray, in that same article, and obviously I just want to bring this up because I'm the Pierre Garçon guy, he did not get a positive review either. So he apparently has not been doing much in OTAs, which you could maybe understand as a veteran guy. He's really the senior guy on that team by far, and he's only 30 years old. But he didn't get a positive review yet either. So take that for what it's worth.
Okay.
It's also OTAs.
Sure.
Take that for what it's worth.
Yep.
It is. And Latavius Murray, he's not even in OTAs. He said his goal is to be ready at some point in training camp as he recovers from ankle surgery. Is this new news with Latavius Murray?
Well, we knew that Latavius wasn't going to be available until training camp, but now it sounds like there's concern he won't be ready for the start of training camp, and that means he'll be behind the eight ball as far as learning a new playbook and getting involved in that Minnesota offense. I think this helps Dalvin Cook. I've liked Cook a lot. I think he's a good talent, and I know that McKinnon's been getting some good reviews too. Lost weight, has worked on his footwork in Houston. I think Murray could end up falling out of favor so badly in fantasy that you get him well into the double-digit rounds by the time August comes around.
And Dave, you have Dalvin Cook one spot ahead of Joe Mixon, 20th overall. Jamie has Joe Mixon 15th and Dalvin Cook 25th. Jamie, do you see yourself moving Dalvin Cook up?
No, because Latavius is still going to play a role. He's probably still going to be their goal line guy. And McKinnon's going to play on passing downs, which is going to hurt Cook as well. I think Cook is a talented guy. I've said it from the time he was drafted. I hate the spot for him for this year. Moving forward, I think he'll be good. I think he'll be the starter. I think he'll be the best running back there. But that's a team, I think, that will use all three guys in some capacity, with Cook being the best of the three. But, man, it would be crazy if McKinnon ends up coming out of this as their guy.
We might be throwing a late-round pick on McKinnon. Late
round pick. Okay, so on Jerick McKinnon. Now, man, there's a lot of stuff here. I don't want to get too bogged down in news items, but Tennessee offensive coordinator Terry Robiskie said he's going to find ways to use both DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. That's something you think will hurt DeMarco Murray's value?
Could. You're talking about a running back getting more work than he got in the case of Derrick Henry. Last year when the season started, he was getting maybe 5 carries a game. He had a couple where he got more. There was the game against Jacksonville where he ended up having 16 carries. Last game of the year, I don't think DeMarco played, or if he did, he was limited. And Henry had 15 carries. He could. I think he's a slam dunk to get a minimum of 5 carries per game, maybe 5 touches per game because he can catch the ball a little bit.
Oh, he'll get more than that.
Consistently?
Yes. Absolutely.
Then it hurts DeMarco.
I don't really think so at all. I think you look at what DeMarco Murray's, like, I'm looking at his game log right now. He had a 25 carry game against Houston in week 4, 27 carry game against Miami in week 5, 21 carries in week 6, 25 in week 7, 21 in week 8. That's not going to happen again. But 20 carries, 16 carry, like he had after the Jacksonville game is the one you point to, Adam, when he got hurt, right?
Yes.
I think it was the week after, but, he had 14 carries against San Diego, 17 against Green Bay. These are the averages I think you're going to see. I think it's going to be around 17 carries a game for him, and he was still very effective in a lot of those games.
Caught a bunch of passes
against
too,
Green Bay, 17 for 123. He had 18 for 89 against Kansas City, to Dave's point, 5 for 52 in that game catching the ball. So I still think 17 carries, 3 to 5 catches, he'll still be 20 touches on average a game. It just won't be the 30 carries. The 30 touches that he was averaging, and Henry will be closer, I think, 10 to 15 touches, because they're going to still be a very run-dominant team. As much as Mariota got weapons, this was, according to a website that ranks offensive lines, and a lot of people buy into it in Pro Football Focus, the best offensive line in the NFL. As much as we talk about Dallas and maybe Oakland and some of these other ones, this was the best. It's still going to be among the best, and these two guys will benefit greatly. So I don't want to draft Derrick Henry as a potential starter, but as a number three guy, especially if I draft Murray, I think that's where he goes.
Do you think Derrick Henry will get more or fewer touches than Tevin Coleman this year?
That's a very good question.
Thank you.
Could be very similar.
And I feel like their draft values are quite different right now, like maybe two rounds.
I could tell you based on...
I'm going to say Coleman.
Other...
Gets more.
ADP.
Yeah, tell me.
You keep talking while...
Okay, so I'll go to the next note. Pete Carroll said that Russell Wilson looks great moving around. That's according to ESPN. Wilson was the number 14 quarterback in fantasy last year. He was top five each of the previous two seasons, and we know he hurt his ankle early in the year, and this will not only help his rushing totals, which were way down last year, they'll help his passing totals too. He just wasn't right, so I think it's no surprise that offseason he's getting healthier. That's great. Dave, Lions.com is saying that rookie wide receiver Kenny Golladay, a third-round draft pick, is looking good. He's not someone that we have been drafting. Should we be putting Kenny Golladay on the old radar?
He's obviously been on the dynasty radar for a while. I'm not ready to draft him in a seasonal league because when are you going to use him? What's his upside? If you really believe that Marvin Jones is a total dud, and there's people who do, then maybe Golladay starts to work on that role, and he starts to play more on the outside as that number one outside threat. But I think we're a long way away from there. Again, OTAs. Glad he's looking good. He's got a long way to go to be a important fantasy dude.
Okay.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
So... the first place that I looked at was my fantasy league, but I'm assuming this, they say it's their full redrafts, but I'm going to assume that there's dynasty in this because Henry's being drafted ahead of Coleman. Mm. And I can't imagine that that's the case. The second place I looked was Fantasy Football Calculator. And this seems to be more realistic. Tevin Coleman's going exactly one round ahead of Derrick Henry.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think it's going to be that far apart. Like it's round five and round six. Now, I think Henry in round six is on the optimistic side, and you can make a case that Coleman in round five is maybe a little bit on the pessimistic side, but I think it's maybe two rounds apart. Like, I would probably say if you had to ask me where do I think their ADP is, I would say Coleman in round five and Henry in round seven.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. In our most recent draft, Coleman went in round five and Henry went in round eight, but, you know, that's not to say that's going to happen often.
And that was half-point PPR, so standard Henry gets bumped up a little bit more.
Okay. Alrighty then, let's see. Bleacher Report's Mike Freeman reports that most teams think Tony Romo will play football again. Do you think that they would consider me as Jim Nance's partner in the broadcast booth if Tony Romo did go play football? Like, do you think I would be a just be honest with me. Do you think I'd be a candidate?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Listen, you're in the CBS family. You have broadcast ability. Your last play-by-play was when?
High school. College.
College? Mm-hmm. For the football team?
Football, everything.
Okay, so everything. So, yeah, I mean, look, you have our support.
Thank you. Now, I'm sure you've done a lot of difficult, challenging things in your professional and amateur careers. I will tell you that since we're on the subject, which not really, but now I'm making us on the subject, I don't think the hardest thing I've ever done is play-by-play for soccer. Maybe volleyball. Yes, play-by-play for volleyball. You have any idea, on the radio, any idea how hard that is? How fast that friggin' ball is going? Forget it. There you go. That's your 2 cents.
Is that when you were at UM?
Yeah.
I used to love covering volleyball. It was so much fun.
I mean, it was fun to cover, but not do play-by-play. I did like every sport pretty much, so. But, you know, not like diving. Calvin Pryor, the Jets' first-round pick in 2014, traded to Cleveland for a linebacker to Mario Davis. Cleveland head coach Hugh Jackson... he thinks they're going to run the ball more, and he thinks Isaiah Crowell can take the next step. We talked about him a lot last episode. But this year, they're going to try to run the ball more. Of course, they had the second fewest rush attempts, as I mentioned. They're going to have to be in the game to run the ball. Rams head coach Sean McVay said Jared Goff is the starter, but he did not exactly give him a ringing endorsement. So I don't know if he's in love with Jared Goff. Other news items. This Corey Coleman thing.
After we gave 5 minutes to Cody Kessler.
You want to talk about Goff?
No.
Good. Corey Coleman. This would really hurt Cody Kessler's rising stock. Corey Coleman is going to be out until training camp, which sounds like a while, but there's really nothing going on between OTAs and training camp. He landed on a ball, and he hurt himself. Do we care?
I think it's just unfortunate that hopefully he's not going to be one of those guys that just gets these freak injuries, breaking his hand in practice last year, leading up to week 3, you know, cost him 6 games. and stuff like this. Like, is this just a Browns cursed thing? You know, for him that he's never going to materialize into something special like he could be.
Amir Abdullah said that he had a Lisfranc tear last year. Does that change anything as you evaluate Abdullah coming off the foot injury?
If he's healthy now, then no.
Good. Mike Triplett tweeting, ESPN's Saints reporter, tweeting that Ted Ginn has been impressive. And Drew Brees said, I could not be more impressed. He can fly. Ted Ginn. Yeah.
Well, we always knew he could he could run. It's just a matter of how much work he'll get. Is he going to get as much work as he had last year in Carolina, 2 years ago in Carolina? Less than that? It's a good late-round pick, but I don't know if he's going to be a hero for your fantasy team. He's a guy you'll stash on your bench. You'll see how the season starts for him. It's nice that he's got 11 games on turf, 10 games indoors. He's got the Vikings and the Patriots the first 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, it could be a rough
start. Not exactly the type of matchups that you'd want to roll them out. Minnesota's in Minnesota. New England's at home. So at least New England's at home.
That'd be
Saints
fun.
Saints don't play their second home game until week six.
All right. Darren Urban, who covers the Cardinals, says that Bruce Arians said Carson Palmer looks fantastic. It's like he's 20. That's what Arians said about Carson Palmer. Where do you guys have Carson Palmer ranked?
In the teens.
Yeah.
All right.
Good sleeper quarterback that you'll be able to find late in every draft.
So you'd take him over Cody Kessler?
I would take him over, yes, Cody Kessler.
He really, you know, he doesn't get enough credit for how he finished the season. He was excellent.
He was.
Would you take Carson Wentz or Carson Palmer?
I would take Wentz's upside, so I would take Wentz. I think Wentz is going to have a very good year.
I think the both could actually end up having a nice year. So many good quarterbacks. Very good.
Would you take Carson Palmer, Carson Wentz, Harry Carson? That's all I've got. Harry Carson. What's that?
Johnny Carson.
Johnny Carson. Yeah, you could take Johnny Carson.
Johnny Carson was amazing.
Yeah, he was great. So
I like Palmer better than Wentz, by the way.
Palmer better than Wentz. Okay, so we're going to talk about the draft, but not like the typical let's go through the draft type of thing. I thought there were some interesting decisions to be made in the draft, like when I took a quarterback, could I take a tight end right after that?
You didn't tell people what draft.
Half-point PPR.
Okay.
And we got into it. We didn't really discuss it that much on Tuesday. We talked about the quarterback thing, you know, when to take a quarterback. Jamie and I took a quarterback early. Dave waited. But here's the first thing I want to do.
You keep saying it wrong, by the way.
How do you want me to say it?
Well, it shouldn't be half-point PPR.
It's pronounced Quebec.
You know, half PPR, half-point PPR, what's the difference? I know what the PPR stands for. I know what it means. Okay?
Sure.
All right. Well, some people get bothered by it. Okay, the half-point per reception draft. There we go. I want to look at the mid rounds and let's find where the value is. Is it at running back or is it at wide receiver? So I'm going to give you the running backs and the wide receivers for each round, rounds 5 through 9, and you tell me which group you like better. Round 5, running backs. Mark Ingram, Paul Perkins, Tevin Coleman, and Marshawn Lynch. Ingram, Perkins, Tevin Coleman, Marshawn Lynch. Those are your round 5 running backs. At wide receiver, we have Edelman, Golden Tate, Jamison Crowder, Stephon Diggs, Larry Fitzgerald, Corey Davis, and Emmanuel Sanders. Edelman, Tate, Crowder, Diggs, Fitzgerald, Corey Davis, Emmanuel Sanders. Which do you like better, the running backs or the wide receivers?
I think I'd say the receivers, especially in half-point PPR. Now, some of these receivers I don't like. Like, I think it's too soon for Diggs, too soon for Davis, too soon for Sanders.
Too soon for Davis?
Yeah, too soon for Corey Davis. Round 5?
Well, he was the second to last. That was my pick. He was the second to last one picked there. So there were a lot of wide receivers that went. But I thought about that. I don't know that it's too soon for Davis. He's got...
Not for Davis at all.
I do.
He's the first running back. He's the first wide receiver off the board in the draft. Like, he's the number 5 pick in the draft? He could be great.
I don't think it's a round 5 pick, not even in PPR.
Half PPR. Half point per reception.
Full point PPR, he's going to be probably toward the end of round 4. I there's nothing really that stands out to me here, though, to be honest with you. It's almost like, okay, yeah, sure, good, maybe. Like, I mean, I took Perkins at the with the fourth pick there, so he was the second running back selected. So, I mean, I'm fine with that. And Coleman, I'm fine with, was the next one there, but I don't like Lynch.
Even that late into round five?
Well, I'm just looking at round six and who some of the guys who are there who I think are better.
Okay, well, let's do that then. Running backs in round six were C.J. Anderson, Bilal Powell, Spencer Ware, Eddie Lacy, and Danny Woodhead. C.J. Anderson, Bilal Powell, Spencer Ware, Eddie Lacy, and Danny Woodhead. Wide receivers in round six, Dante Moncrief, Tyreek Hill, Pierre Garçon, Willie Snead, and Martavis Bryant. One more time, the wide receivers were Moncrief, Tyreek Hill, Pierre Garçon, Willie Snead, and big play, Martavis Bryant.
You got me to make a noise.
Yeah.
Love those receivers.
Me too.
Hands down better. I like a lot of those receivers better than the round five receivers.
Are they really hands down better than running backs? C.J. Anderson, Bilal Powell, Spencer Ware, Eddie Lacy, Danny Woodhead?
Yes.
Jamie, what do you think?
No, they're not hands down better. But
one hand,
you can make an argument. It seemed like the same thing in round five. You know, there's a lot to like about the running backs and receivers there. There's a lot to dislike about them. It's the same. This is why they're in this spot. So, you know, there's a lot of, do you like the upside of Tyreek Hill, of Pierre Garçon, of Willie Snead, of Martavis Bryant? You know the downside with those guys because they've, for the most part, failed to produce given some, and Dante Moncrief, you know, given some high expectations. I think with the running backs, it's a lot of it is injury related. Like Bilal Powell is kind of a flash in the pan moment type of thing, you know, because we don't know how exactly it's going to work with him and Matt Forte. We think he's going to be better. Spencer Ware is, you know, in the Rob Kelly discussion, like we previously talked about, you know, a guy that could be just hanging on to his job for now. And Lacy and Anderson are just, you know, if they're healthy, they're going to be great. And they're going to be steals in the sixth round.
I think when you look at these round five running backs and wide receivers, there's still a lot of good players here. I don't think we've reached a big talent drop off to you. It looks like these are reliable flexes at worst, no?
I would agree. I think, you know, looking at these guys as flex options makes the most sense. But in a lot of cases, if you drafted quarterback or tight end in the first four rounds, these are potential starters for you, which is what happened with my team, you know, in terms of taking Willie Snead as a number two wide receiver.
I think I'm going to call an audible on this. I'm not really feeling this segment. On air audible. Cool?
Okay.
All right. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just like, this is just kind of whatever to me. So let's talk about our teams. Let's talk about how this came together, what you liked and didn't like. I will say objectively, I was looking at all the teams. I think my two favorite teams are Jamie's, believe it or not, even though you think Tom Brady ruined your draft, and Jeff Tobin, who had the first pick. I thought he did a really nice job. But
I love Jeff.
You like Jeff's team? Well, why don't we start with Jeff's team then and how it came together with the first overall pick and David Johnson. You want to go for it, Jamie?
Sure. I have intimate knowledge of how this team came together. David Johnson was the first overall pick, and then in round two and three, Jeff took the two best wide receivers in Doug Baldwin and Demaryius Thomas. The other receivers on the board, if you were curious, were Alshon Jeffrey, Allen Robinson, Davante Adams, and Sammy Watkins. But we've talked about Doug Baldwin a lot, 94 catches last year. Can he do that again? We'll see. And Thomas says he's in the best shape of his life. So hopefully that leads to a rebound season for him of sorts. Jeff then, again, took the best receiver on the board in round four with Brandon Cooks and then Mark Ingram in round five. We talked about this on a previous podcast. He also ended up taking Adrian Peterson as well. Another thing we talked about on the last show, he took Matt Ryan in round seven, along with Danny Woodhead in round six. So that's great quarterback value. So, you know, good running back depth now and in any PPR format with Woodhead and Ryan in that spot. Peterson, where his last, I'll just get to his tight end.
All right, get to his tight end and then I'll recap the team. Go ahead.
Sure. He ended up taking Martellus Bennett in round 11. So say what you will about Martellus Bennett, if you like him or don't like him because of, you know, where he is in his career going to Green Bay. The upside of playing with Aaron Rodgers or the downside of where he's coming off of a Super Bowl victory and leaving the Patriots. Round 11 is just amazing value to get your starting tight end.
Okay, so this was the first pick of a 12-team half-point per reception league. I think I'm going to start saying it like that, half-point per reception.
Yes, the correct way to say it.
Yeah, all right. And he went. He's got Matt Ryan, David Johnson, and Mark Ingram, Demaryius Thomas, and Doug Baldwin. So Jeff went running back, then receiver, receiver. Brandon Cooks is his flex. Martellus Bennett is his tight end. Ryan, David Johnson, Mark Ingram, Demaryius Thomas, Doug Baldwin, Brandon Cooks at flex, Martellus Bennett at tight end. And then the bench. So you said running back depth. I think that was my one thing with this team is their running back depth. You do have the Saints backfield. Ingram is a starter. Peterson is a backup. Danny Woodhead. And who was it? Was it Joe Williams?
Jonathan Williams.
Of the Bills. Jonathan Williams. That's just like a handcuff type. He's not, doesn't have McCoy. That's just like a shot.
Oh, it's a lottery ticket.
Lottery ticket. All right. And then the receivers, in addition to Demaryius Thomas, Doug Baldwin, and Brandon Cooks, you have Jeremy Maclin, Eric Decker, and Tyrell Williams. So, I don't know. Like, Dave, what do you think about that running back depth? The three bench running backs in a half point per reception league are Danny Woodhead, Jonathan Williams, and Adrian Peterson.
If that's what we're going to, it feels like we're nitpicking, honestly, because I love the running backs as the starters. David Johnson, clearly a stud. I think Mark Ingram could have a very good year. And Jeff did the right thing by getting Adrian Peterson to back up Ingram. And you know that Danny Woodhead can catch 5-6 catches a game and get maybe 40, 50 yards, have a chance at scoring. I do think there was overkill with the receivers that Jeff drafted. Does he really need Decker and Tyrell Williams and Jeremy Maclin? I don't think so. Not with the receivers that he took. He could have taken another couple of running backs late in the draft. But I feel like we're nitpicking. I think the starting lineup is really good. And I think it came down to getting Matt Ryan, where Jeff got Matt Ryan.
I would say Ryan and Bennett.
It's incredible value for a quarterback who no one's really expecting to go back to being a top five fantasy passer, but he could do it. He's got the weapons. I think this is a team that will still be in a lot of high scoring games. Turf 13 times this season coming up. I know they're changing offensive coordinators. I don't like that, but everything else is really in place for Ryan to have another big year.
Ryan was the first pick of round 7. So, okay, right. If we are nitpicking, do you think that Jeff, having taken wide receivers in rounds 2 and 3, instead of taking Brandon Cooks as his third receiver at the end of round 4, does he maybe go with the next running back off the board, Paul Perkins, or Marshawn Lynch? I know, Jamie, you don't like him there. Dave, you might. Tevin Coleman.
I like how Jeff played it.
Okay, then let me ask you this, because this is not just for the guy who has the number one pick, but for anybody who has an early pick. You take David Johnson with the first pick. Do you like Baldwin Demaryius at 2-3, or would you rather have either one of those wide receivers, Baldwin or Demaryius, and Lamar Miller or Isaiah Crowell or McCaffrey or Mixon? Gurley had just gone off the board, but let's say Lamar Miller. Would you prefer that? Instead of, get a little bit more running back depth there.
Well, the guy that he left on the board that I think I might have taken ahead of him is Devontae Adams. Because that's an offense that's still going to throw the ball. Did they address the running back position? Yes. Did they do it in a big way? No. I still think Aaron Rodgers is going to put up enough stats to support at least two guys. And I think Jordy and Devontae are going to be those two guys. So I think I would have gone with Baldwin and Adams in that spot. I don't think I would have taken Demaryius Thomas, although I do like Demaryius better in half point per reception leagues.
Okay, so then we like this team. As an early pick, if you go running back, wide receiver, that's a pretty good way to start.
To start any draft.
Yeah.
It really is. I like the idea of getting two receivers and a running back in any sort of order to start a draft this year. I think that's a good strategy.
I'm looking at a draft. I guess just maybe one thing that could have been a little different is passing on Decker in round 8 and taking Kenneth Dixon in that spot. And then you have the Ravens' potential two top guys with Woodhead and Dixon and Peterson and Ingram. And maybe that's a little bit more running back depth. Yeah. So you have two backfields locked up.
Yeah, okay. That could work too. Jamie, Why don't you talk about your team? Because I did like it a lot. And other than the fact that you took Tom Brady, which you didn't like, you have Brady, but I don't know. I think you have a great team. Go ahead.
I like the team. I just, it just feels uncomfortable to me every time I see those quarterbacks that go later.
Yeah.
But can't you get over that knowing that you have Tom Brady as your quarterback and that you got him in
round
four?
I will once the season starts because then I get to play the waiver wire.
Right, exactly.
So, but it's just, again, it's coming off of the draft. You want my draft picks or the team?
Well, did you have a strategy?
Well, I knew I was taking the leftover of running back or Antonio Brown at four. That's easy. Round two, I was.
And you took Brown.
I took Antonio Brown. Round two, knowing that, and Michael Thomas kind of fell a little bit in this draft. Dave took him with the seventh pick in the second round. But I anticipated either Jay Ajayi, Leonard Fournette, or Amari Cooper being my picks. I took Fournette since I started with a receiver. Round three, I had a little bit of a dilemma in taking Lamar Miller. I don't believe he's going to have a worse season than he had last year. I think he's going to have a much better season because I think the passing game will be better. I'm not worried about Deontay Foreman hurting him to a significant degree. So I think Miller's got 1,500 total yards and 8 touchdowns in him. And so I took him in round three, and then I took Brady in the fourth round. So after that, it's those next few picks that just didn't fall the way that I was hoping. I took Paul Perkins in round five. I took Willie Snead in round six. Brandon Marshall in round seven. That makes me feel a little icky.
Well, but he could be your flex.
Yeah, I mean, he will be to start, but I just don't love Brandon Marshall's. He's trending in the wrong direction to me at 33 years old than the right direction.
Okay.
So I never taking those players.
Let me ask you a question, Jamie. You start your draft with Antonio Brown. It's two receivers, two running backs, and a flex. Antonio Brown, then Fournette, Lamar Miller, then Tom Brady. So now you have two running backs, one wide receiver as we get to your fifth pick. You then take a third running back in Paul Perkins. Now, the previous two picks were Julian Edelman and Golden Tate. Would you have taken one of them and gotten your second wide receiver instead of your third running back if Edelman and Tate had not come off the board?
So if Tate was still there?
Yeah.
If Edelman, Tate, and Perkins
it would
were
not
on
have
the
been
board.
Edelman. It would have been Tate.
Tate over Perkins.
Yeah, I would have taken Perkins over Edelman.
Mm-hmm. So you could have in theory taken instead of your third running back, if you wanted to go receiver there, you could have taken Crowder. We already said it was too early for Diggs, who went in round five. Larry Fitzgerald, Corey Davis, Emmanuel Sanders.
I'll tell you, if I remember correctly, what I think I saw was, okay, so Tate was gone, and then I said, okay, I'm gonna take another running back here because who knows if Fournette's gonna be great. You know, we can speculate all we want to. I kind of know what Lamar Miller is. Again, I'm being optimistic with him. And then I'm looking at the receivers here. I probably should have known that R.J. White was going to take Jameson Crowder because he kind of thinks along the same lines I do that he's going to have a better season than he had a year ago. So I kind of was looking at it as, okay, Fitzgerald, Davis, I think this way I have it ranked. Fitzgerald is 24, Davis 25, Crowder's 26. This is my rankings. 27 is Snead, and I think Garcon is in there. I thought I can get two of those guys with my next two picks, and it didn't end up happening that way. I only got one with Snead.
All right. Finish it off by talking about this. So this is a team in Jamie Eisenberg that took a quarterback early and took three running backs with his first five picks. So after five rounds in a half point per reception league, Jamie has one wide receiver. Tell me, do you guys think Jamie's wide receivers are good enough to go along with Brady, Fournette, Lamar Miller, Paul Perkins? He's got Antonio Brown, Willie Snead, Brandon Marshall, Ted Ginn, and Adam Thielen.
I don't love it.
You don't love it because it's not, you don't have this great collection of wide receivers.
Well, it's a nice group. I knew.
And you've got Antonio Brown. The fact that you've got Antonio Brown doesn't make it a bad group. Just by him being there alone,
as I said,
is a nice thing.
When we talked about this the other day, I think Willie Snead could be a top 20 wide receiver if he plays 16 games healthy, like we saw to start the season last year. I think this guy's the limit for him in his new role in a contract year. But I want to draft him as my third guy, not my second guy. And so, had I come away with Brown, Snead, and somebody of the other two guys that I mentioned, other few guys that I mentioned, as opposed to Brown, Snead, and Brandon Marshall. And I think Marshall's fine, but I just don't think that he's got upside potential. I think he's got more downside than upside.
All right, Dave Richard.
Yeah.
Let's hear from you, buddy.
Okay.
What pick did you have?
I believe I had 6.
You are correct, sir.
About time I got something right.
Yeah, so you came away.
Well, no one likes that I took Mike Evans over Odell Beckham with that 6th pick.
That's okay. We discussed that.
I don't even know if I like it. But I'm going with it for now. It hinges a lot on Brandon Marshall actually having a significant role in New York. I don't know if I can keep buying that.
Well, this is fun because, you know, we talked about a team that went running back, wide receiver. Then we talked about Jamie's team, which went wide receiver, running back. You, sir, went wide receiver with Mike Evans, 6th overall. And then in the middle of round 2, you took Michael Thomas.
Yeah, had to take him at that point. I thought he was the last of the great wideouts that was available. If you give me a second, I'll tell you who else was there and whether or not I should have gone in that direction.
It was Ajayi.
Ajayi and Fournette. You know, I knew that there would be something left at running back. I knew that Crowell had a chance of making it back to me in round 3. And I know there's a drop off from Fournette, Ajayi to Isaiah Crowell. That's an obvious statement. But I also think there's a drop off from Michael Thomas to Sammy Watkins, Keenan Allen, Jarvis Landry, Terrell Pryor. I would have been okay with one of those wide receivers there if I had taken Fournette would have been the pick for me over Ajayi. But catches count. I love Thomas. I think he's going to continue to play big in New Orleans. I took him.
Okay.
And it locked me up with 2 stud receivers.
That's what I would have done. I mean, I had the pick before that. I was way before that. But I was deciding between Jordan Howard and Michael Thomas. I took Jordan Howard. And
yeah, I've done that too.
I thought Thomas would be the next pick, but he wasn't. It was Gronk, then Hopkins, then Murray, and then took Thomas. So
I feel like I lucked out getting Thomas as well.
Yeah, so you're in a good situation here, and then...
But let me also say this. If you're listening and you don't buy into Isaiah Crowell, for whatever reason, then I think you have to go running back here. If you really can't settle for the round 3 running backs that were available, not necessarily when I was up, but Miller, Crowell, McCaffrey, Mixon, those guys are who went. Montgomery went around later. Carlos Hyde, Abdullah Cook went around later. If you can't settle on those running backs to be a starter for your team, then you have to take Fournette.
Let me ask you another question, though, because I don't necessarily agree with that. Because what if you like Terrell Pryor a lot?
I do.
So let's say you take Pryor in round 3 instead of Crowell in round 3, right?
So I go receiver, draft.
So now round 4, I'm just looking at guys that you like. Gillislee in round 4, you can make an argument, half-point PPR, still scores a lot.
He would have been my RB1.
That would have been your RB1. But you just start taking running backs now. So you take still Coleman in round 5. So now you have Gillislee, Coleman. Then round 6, instead of taking Jimmy Graham, let's say you take Woodhead, who PPR, I don't know how much you like him.
Have PPR.
Round 7, Doug Martin. So now your running back group is starting to still be okay.
Ugh.
There's just no... Huh?
I don't know. It sounds pretty yucky to me.
But is it that far off from the group that I actually ended up building?
But again... That's what I would say. It's not far off from the group you ended up building, and your flex, which is very good still, Michael Crabtree. He could be just as good as Terrell Pryor, if not better. So it's just a matter of, you know, flip a coin on which spot is different, RB quote one or flex. You know, so I don't think you necessarily have to take a running back there. It just changes your draft strategy a little bit, and then you just start going, okay, I'm locked in with 3 stud receivers. I don't know where you have Pryor, top 15.
Mm-hmm.
So you have 3 of your top 15 wide receivers, and now it's just, okay, by week 5, Doug Martin could be my best guy. Mike Gillislee gets me through 4 or 5 weeks.
Here's the question. It's Fournette and Pryor versus Michael Thomas and Isaiah Crowell.
But now you're going back another round. You can't pass up Michael Thomas. That spot. Yeah, you are.
I could have passed him up to get Leonard Fournette.
But you shouldn't. Nobody should.
That's the question that people have to answer. Some people might instantly say Fournette and Pryor, no questions asked. And other people might say Thomas and Crowell, no questions asked.
See, but
that, to me, that's the debate.
I just think 3rd round's a little in any PPR value too soon for Crowell.
I just want to make a broad statement here. Lamar Miller mid-3rd round might be what, and this is not the only draft we've seen it. He went with the 4th pick of the 3rd round. I don't know if that's mid or early, but that's kind of like my favorite value right now. I just
really?
Yeah.
If Oh, it could be. I mean, I think he, you know, they basically took him off for two games. He could have played through those two games if he was, if they were fighting for something. Week 16 and week 17. You know, they rested him for the playoffs. So his numbers.
He was hurt, wasn't he?
He was playing through the ankle injury. He played through the ankle injury for about 3 weeks prior to that. Mm-hmm. So had he, and he came back in the playoffs, scored a touchdown in the playoffs against Oklahoma. Yep. So had he played those two games, I think he finished as the 21st best running back. He probably would have finished, what, 17, 18 maybe?
No, he was 17th or 18th, I'm pretty sure, you know, as it is now. He stunk, though. He was not good. Lamar Miller was obviously a bust, but in the middle of the third round...
He was a bust given his draft value. So he finished, you said, I think it's 16.
Somewhere around there.
Okay, so he finished 3 points behind Spencer Ware, 5 points behind Isaiah Crowell, 9 points behind Carlos Hyde. He plays those two games. He's now creeping close to the top 12.
He's ahead of those guys. Yeah. The one thing that worries me is that not a lot went right for him this offseason. Coach says they want to take carries off his plate. Team improves at quarterback. Team doesn't make big splash on the offensive line. Team adds another running back.
But that second point, though, I think is going to help him.
Bury the goal line.
The quarterback point?
How much is Watson going to run a lot? Because if he runs a lot, then I agree.
I don't even know if it's Watson. I think just addition by subtraction. Just Tom Savage or Deshaun
Watson. I think Watson.
Just move the ball, move the chains, better offense will be more fantasy points. Also, won't their offensive line be better? They lost their center for the season in the preseason. They lost their left tackle for a lot of the season. Dwayne Brown, he was in and out.
Yep.
Has Brown been back at practice?
I don't know. But I can't imagine. I feel like they'll go into the season healthier and hopefully better at offensive line.
And defense could be better.
Should be. That is. Yeah, get a little J.J. Watt action there. Okay, well, that Dave, you want to finish up here, and then we'll read some emails?
I think Dave's team is great. I don't see a problem with.
I don't love my RB2. But I've got so many guys behind him. Which is what I typically do in a draft.
Coleman.
Anyway.
If Martin hits, you're in good shape.
Martin could hit. Dixon could hit. Yeah. Jeremy Hill rises from the ashes. Marshawn Lynch gets hurt. DeAndre Washington takes his place. Any of those things happen.
Jeremy Hill will hit your waiver wire. Yes.
Yeah. Tevin Coleman could. Part of me kind of wishes I had taken Lynch over Coleman.
I think that's
an easier move to do in a standard league than one where catches count, but
I'm not sure I like taking both Kenneth Dixon and Doug Martin, unless you have like seven person benches or deeper. That seems like a lot.
I have to do a little managing to get through those first 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah. Okay.
But hopefully I don't have a rash of injuries at running back.
I was planning on talking about the dilemma of I took a quarterback early, can I now take a tight end early? But we shall save that for next week. Let's read some emails, fantasy football.
Adam, is there any breaking news?
Oh, Kristen Michael's a Colt. Okay, I guess
when it's June 1st at 3 o'clock, that constitutes breaking news.
I'll tell you what, that's not a bad spot for him.
It's not. It's really not, but... What is he, a head case? Does he just not get what's going on? Because he's put up good numbers. He just, people don't like him.
Or
people being coaches.
Would you draft Marlon Mack or Kristen Michael?
Still Marlon Mack.
Still Mack.
Okay. Now your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. This is from Liam Ireton from a small town in New Zealand.
Liam.
Randall Cobb. In redraft, Randall Cobb is going really late. I know there is the risk that he could be done and his best years are behind him, but the upside of a proven receiver in a powerhouse offense that can support three fantasy-relevant wide receivers makes Randall Cobb as a wide receiver four irresistible to me. What do you guys think? Randall Cobb.
Do you know he finished as the number 56 receiver in standard leagues last year?
Ouch.
56.
Number four makes plenty of sense because that's the lottery ticket type of player you hope can rebound.
I think
I feel like you're drafting him because you've heard his name before, and a few years ago he did some good things, and you're just kind of hoping that he gets back to that level. And where's the evidence that he might?
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but this email from Liam says Aaron Rodgers can support three wide receivers, and I don't really think that's been the case. It's been two. You know?
You've got to be in the right spot to support three receivers. You've got to have the right receivers, the right offense, and you've got to be a damn good quarterback. Rodgers is a damn good quarterback, and he's in a pretty good spot.
They also upgraded a tight end, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not ready to say he can support three receivers, but if you were able to take Randall Cobb and Martellus Bennett and like put them in a blender, and out comes Martell Cobb-Bennett, mm-hmm. and you can combine their stats, that would be a good fantasy player.
That's
I would
like
draft Mandel Mob.
Okay, well, you're doing this, like, you're combining the names so poorly. It's like 90% Martellus Bennett's name and then 90% Randall Cobb's name. It's like, come on.
90% for both?
Well, you did two different names. You did, that was.
Okay, show me how it's done.
Randall Cobb, Martellus Bennett? Randall Bennett?
Okay, I guess that's technically 50%.
Bartandal Cobb? That's not bad. Okay, anyway, Josh has an email.
Cobb? You just said Cobb for the last name?
No, I said
Cobb.
Martandal Cobbett. Yes, Martandal Cobbett.
Anyway.
Josh, where's Josh from?
Josh is from Central Indiana.
Hey, John, Rob, Brandon, Rickon. Jamie?
Can't wait for that start.
Oh, yeah. When does it start?
July 16th.
That's Game of Thrones?
Yeah. All right, July 16th. I'll be married by then. Hey, John, Rob, Brandon, Rickon, 12-team PPR Dynasty League. I've been lucky enough to hit gold on a running back trio of Ezekiel Elliott, Melvin Gordon, and Jordan Howard. Ooh.
Wow.
But my wide receivers are a little weak. We start two running backs, three receivers, and a flex. I was able to trade for Michael Thomas last year. But my second-best wide receiver is Corey Coleman. My third-best wide receiver is Willie Snead. Do you think it's okay to rely on both Thomas and Willie Snead on a weekly basis? So, again, he's starting Ezekiel Elliott, Melvin Gordon, and then he can't start Jordan Howard, or he can, you know, do some
stuff. Can as the flex.
Yes, he can as the flex. But his receivers would be Michael Thomas, Corey Coleman, Willie Snead. Is this okay, or do you think that Josh should trade one of his running backs for a wide receiver, given that it's a three-receiver league?
Last year, there were only 3 weeks where Michael Thomas and Brandon Cooks both were in double digits in fantasy points. Snead,
this is the Azer theory.
Yeah, Snead had double digits in fantasy points the same week as any other Saints wide receiver twice.
This doesn't matter. Brandon Cooks was there.
Sorry, three times.
It don't matter. Brandon Cooks was there. It's a totally different ballgame now.
I don't know. Ted Ginn is there.
Yeah.
He'll do some damage somehow.
What do you guys think? I think I would trade Jordan Howard for a wide receiver.
I think he's the most sell-highable guy among the running backs that he's got. You could probably put Snead with Howard and pick up a stud running or stud receiver in return.
Oh, you could get a stud receiver for Howard alone.
Yeah.
You better.
Throw in Snead too if you want.
I don't know why you would throw in Snead.
Throwing in Coleman isn't going to help.
Don't throw in Snead. I would just trade Howard and get a stud receiver. Receivers are a little bit more predictable than running backs. And like Elliott and Gordon, I feel like they're so entrenched for years to come.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I feel that way about Howard. What do you think?
He's the most sell-highable guy because of that. Like Jordan Howard should be the next great running back in the long line of Chicago Bears running backs, but we've also seen the Bears get great single seasons out of Rashawn Salaam, Curtis Enos, Anthony Thomas. There's others that have come and they've had one good year. Cedric Benson had a couple, I think. And then they dissipate, and Jordan Howard might follow that same route.
I will make a promise to the listeners because I've been neglecting the emails. A sincere promise from Adam Azer to you, listeners. Tuesday's show will be at least 25 minutes of mailbag, unless we get really crappy questions and they're all keeper questions. But if you want to do some mailbag stuff, I'll read more of your emails. I apologize. I freaking hate when I don't read enough emails. I feel very bad. So I'm going to be feeling guilt all weekend. Just know that.
Sing your apology.
Hold me now. It's hard for me to say I'm sorry. How's that? I just want you to know.
Everybody tells you to sing, you sing.
I will. Yeah, it's true. So anyway, have a wonderful weekend. Fantasy football at CBSi.com. We'll do a lot of mailbag stuff on Tuesday. Give us some good questions that can help a lot of people. Adios.
Later.